Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. I want to make a prediction about football games that will be played today and from now until February 7th. The teams that win will not necessarily have the best players at every position, but the teams that win will be the teams that have the best team players. Ask any little boy when he's about 7 or 8 and he's dreaming of being a football star. Ask him what he's dreaming about. He's dreaming about making touchdowns and those kinds of things. He's not dreaming about being an offensive lineman or a long snapper. But I guarantee if you know anything about football, you know that an offensive lineman and the guy who gets the ball back to the field goal kicker or to the punter is important. But we don't dream about that, but they're necessary. Every team, if they're going to win, must have team players, players that are willing to do whatever it is that the team needs to win, players that realize that winning and losing life is not all about them. I want to use that analogy as to introduce to you two of the players of the Christmas story, but neither are the main player or the star or whatever, if you will. We're going to look more closely this morning at Mary and Joseph, their lives, and how they reacted to all that happened. And as we look, I believe that we will see qualities it takes to be useful as part of God's plan. Team players. Mary had the qualities of courage and faith. Let's read together Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary. Mary was all of 13 or 14. Young lady living there in Nazareth. Nondescript place, nondescript life. As was the custom of the day, she was already engaged to a man, Joseph. Very likely a matchmaker had been employed. And once Mary and Joseph became engaged or betrothed or whatever word your translation uses, they were legally married. But the marriage had not been consummated. And twice that is pointed out. Twice it is pointed out that she was a virgin. She had not had whatever it takes to make a child, if I can get you to understand that at this point. But it's pointed out twice to point to the magnitude of the miracle. It's pointed out to point to the magnitude of the miracle. A miracle requiring courage and faith on Mary's part. Courage and faith. Mary understood exactly what was about to happen in her life. In terms of everything happening around her, what people would say, what people would think, how they would look at her. She, I think, understood that. And so when Gabriel came to Mary, he greeted her with the words, favored one. Favored one, the Lord is with you. The word favored does not mean to show favor to, it means to give grace to. That she was a recipient of grace, but it took courage and faith for her to go forward. It took courage and faith for her to believe that what God said He was going to do, He was going to do. It's the same kind of courage and faith that it takes for you and I to go forward with what God said He's going to do. That He's going to do what He said. She was going to bear Jesus, the whole treasure of God's grace, in her womb. She had to have courage and faith to live it out and to bear this child. She'd have to, she would have understood the customs and the law she lived under, and for her to bear this child would have taken courage, great courage. She no doubt experienced the next 9 months like every other woman in the world has experienced the next 9 months. As the child began to grow and she began to show that she was with child, everybody around her began to see it. Now, maybe their clothing was looser and all that, but at some point, people would have began to understand, and Joseph would have begun to understand. She had to have faith. She had to be courageous. She had to have faith that God had a plan and that He would bring about His plan for His glory and for her good. And she said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do that or not. I don't know if I can handle all that." No, she said, "May it be done to me just as You've said. May it be done to me according to Your word." And so in all of this, Mary showed courage and faith. Maybe more courage than Mark has. I don't know if you paid any attention, but the Mark I'm referring to is Mark Zuckerberg. Mark is the founder of Facebook, who is reportedly worth some nearly $47 billion. Now, that was not million, that was billion with a B, dollars. Earlier this month, when he announced the birth of his child, he announced, too, that he was establishing an LLC. Now, I've just about told you all I understand about an LLC. But he was establishing an LLC in the family's name and would be donating 99% of his Facebook stock to it, some $45 billion worth. Critics jumped quickly. For one, I hope he can make ends meet with a paltry $1.8 billion, don't you? The second thing that was pointed out was that it was an LLC, not a nonprofit. So he would still control the money. How much faith does it take to control, keep going? Mary, in willingly being obedient to God's plan, showed courage and faith that Mark, I don't know, did. So what in your life is requiring either or both courage or faith? It takes courage and it takes faith to live your life in a Christ-honoring way. At home, at school, in the workplace. It takes courage and it takes faith. Are you willing to pursue Christ, His holiness, instead of the worldliness that bombards you, so that you can live with courage and with faith? Are you willing to give obediently? Are you willing to do whatever God says for you to do? Are you willing? It takes courage and it takes faith. Do you have it? Joseph then had the qualities of trust and love. Do you? Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 1. And as you're finding chapter 1 of Matthew, it was pointed out by one commentator how long the account with Mary was and how short the account with Joseph was. Because women tend to talk more than men. So it was very short and very succinct. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was a young man, not as young as Mary. He may have been 5, 6, 8 years older, but he was young. He was young. How he met Mary, we don't really know. Doesn't matter. He may have lived there in Nazareth as long as she had. He may have looked at what we call love, though, more accurately than we do. He knew that in a marriage, love is a choice before it is an emotion. And I believe that he loved Mary and trusted her. For some time, he had been working toward the day when Mary would be his wife and they would live together and at some point hopefully raise kids together. And now, this? Mary's with a child? He didn't know a lot of things at that point, but he knew whose child it wasn't. And so as he struggled with all that, he no doubt asked the question, how could she do this to me? And as he struggled with it, he came to the decision to end the engagement, to do it quietly, graciously. He had a right to call her out in public and stone her. That's what the law said he could do. But he chose to go another way. And probably the day that he made that decision, when he went to bed that night, the angel came. The angel came in the dream, and the angel said to him, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, his trust in the Lord is definitely in play. Did he trust the Lord enough to stay in the relationship with Mary? Did he trust the Lord enough? Did he trust the Lord enough to see the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies? And that's what is there in verses 23, and that this child would be Emmanuel, God with us. And so when he woke up, maybe he asked himself the question, do I have enough trust, and do I love her enough to go through with this? And he did. Do you ever ask the question, why? When your kids were little and you told them to do something, did they ever say, but why? Why should I do that? Well, I suspect they did. Did you ever just say to them, because? I think sometimes because is all a parent needs to say to a child. If the parent has proven that they are trustworthy, if the parent has proven that they love the child, I think the child, that ought to be enough. Because. And that's what's going on here in this story and in our lives. What in your life is requiring both trust and love? What's going on in your life that, while we can't understand it, if all the Lord says to you is because, isn't that enough? Do you not know that the Lord is trustworthy? That he's proven himself over and over and over We have no biblical account of either Mary or Joseph as a child. But I got to believe that somewhere when they were maybe 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there, maybe for Joseph when he was 14 or 15 and being a little older, that the Lord began putting them into situations to test them, to train them, to grow them up, to get them to this point. Think about your life, how God has used the things in your life to teach you that you can believe what He says. Can you not trust Him to do everything for His glory and for your good? There is a common thread running through these two accounts. Actually, there's two. In both of them, the angel said, made a comment, or in the text, there's a comment about the kind of person they were. Mary was called favored one. Joseph was identified as a righteous man. The second thread is that both Mary and Joseph were told, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear sometimes causes us to react, to make decisions that damage our usefulness in God's plan. Fear is also an opposite of what both Mary and Joseph displayed in their lives. Courage and faith, trust and love. Are those attributes in your life?